But thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Do feel very much in need of your prayers tonight. Thank the Lord for all that He has done for us here. What He's blessed us with already tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you tonight from the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to begin reading in verse 22. We'll read down through verse 33 of Matthew chapter 14. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." This passage of Scripture has meant so very much to me in my own experience in life. That which lets us know about a Savior who is with us in the trials and troubles and heartaches and problems of life, not only knows about them, not only can help us out of them, but many times leads us through them and in them, teaching us things we could never learn any other way. Helps us understand a lot about life, that if you don't get this message, you don't get what's taught here, will cause you to not understand a whole lot of what the Lord does in His work in our lives in teaching us as His children. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." And the multitudes, that's an interesting thought about the multitudes that he sent away, is that multitude of people that he had just fed from the loaves and from the fishes, from 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, 5,000 men. And women besides that, and children besides that, that he had sat down in companies of 50 and of 100, and with a little lad's 2 fishes, small fishes, and 5 barley loaves, he had taken that and blessed it, thanked the Lord for it, and dispersed it through his disciples, and fed a multitude that was hungry, that had come to him, that had been there because they hungered after him, hungered for his healing, hungered for his touch. And they had been in great need. And when the disciples would have sent them away and said, "You go find out, get your own food, get what you need," Jesus said, "Tell them they don't need to go anywhere, that I'll feed them." And what he used was what a little lad had been given by him. He took that which was given to a little lad, and he took what that little lad had. The little lad gave that, and they fed that multitude. And this multitude had gathered here, and then the disciples, after seeing all of that, were told by him, under his direction — the word is constrained, which means he compelled them, he used necessity and said, "This is needful that you do this." He constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He said, there's somewhere else we need to go. I need you to go. This is where you're to go." He directed them, and he led them in their life. We believe in a God who leads us in our lives. I hope we are looking for his leadership in our lives. One of the things little sister Jennifer is asking for so much is that the Lord would lead her in what she's supposed to do and direct her. And I'm thankful that she understands she needs that. I hope we all tonight are not just putting in time thinking this world is just something we're making all our decisions and all our directions and all our way. But we're rather waiting and hoping, "Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Help me in what I'm supposed to do. Help me on my job. Help me in my family. Help me as I walk through life. Lord, guide me, direct me, lead me. Open my eyes that I can see." Now listen, God is always present with us every day, every hour. There's no place, no time that the eyes of the Lord are not with us. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He's nowhere absent. He's everywhere present. And there's nothing that he doesn't see, but there are many times we're not looking and seeing him. There's many times we're not aware of his or calling upon him. We're told to draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto us. And this is not talking to the man that doesn't know the Lord or care about the things of the Lord. This is not instructing him on how to get to know the Lord or learn about the Lord. It's talking about the one who's been taught in his heart that there is a God. That work of grace in his heart has been done so that he's been made alive by the Spirit of Almighty God. And then we are directed as his children to look to him for everything that we stand in need of and our direction in our lives. Sometimes I'm going through life and I'm making this decision, I'm making that decision, and I'm not remembering what the Lord says. I'm not supposed to say, "Tomorrow I'm going to do this and the next day I'm going to do that," without this qualification. "The Lord willing, I'll do this or that." Now that doesn't mean we just say it either. It doesn't mean I'm just going to say, "The Lord willing, I'll do this." It means I am aware that I need the Lord's blessing to be able to do it. I need the Lord's strength to be able to do it. I need the Lord's wisdom to be able to live. I need him. Because he lives, I can face to tomorrow. If he didn't live, if he didn't bless me, I won't know enough to make it in this world. I need him. And you and I all need him. These disciples should surely have learned that in the lesson that they had just seen when he took the loaves and the fishes. Because remember, when he did the loaves and fishes, and I tried to talk about them this morning, when he gave out the loaves and the fishes, the disciples said, "What are we going to do? We got this group of people to feed, and what are we going to feed them? If we had 200 penny worth to feed them, that wouldn't begin to feed them. It would give some of them, maybe some of them a little bit, but it wouldn't feed them. We wouldn't have enough." And they said, and then one of the disciples, I believe it was Andrew, said, "We have a lad here." Of course, Jesus sent them to find the lad. They wouldn't have found him if Jesus hadn't sent them. And they said, "Here, we've got two small fishes." Isn't it wonderful how the Bible talks about that? "And 5 barley loaves." You know, we had an old Baptist meeting and we had 5 barley loaves on the tables and 2 small fishes. I guarantee you our sisters are going to be worried about what we're going to do. How are we going to feed them? Sometimes we get worried about that now, don't we? Miss what's really important. Listen, this isn't talking about somebody else's Jesus. This isn't talking about somebody else. This is talking about the Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who flung the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place. That's Jesus. That's our Savior. Who is the one that designs every snowflake that you see and the beauty of the design? Who is that? That's Jesus. Who's the one that not only makes the supplied the barley for the barley loaves, but also He makes the bread that we have on our table. He's the one who has clothed us. He is the one who is keeping us. There's not a sparrow that falls without Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He not only made this world, but it's by His power all things consist. And you and I, when we look to Him, we're looking to one who knows everything we stand in need of. And He will lead us, and He will guide us, and He is directing us, and we need to listen, we need to heed, and let not your heart be hardened as in the day of provocation. Can you get a hard heart as a little child of grace? Hebrews says you can. You can harden your heart. You can become carnally minded. You can become so fleshly minded you can't see any spiritual good. You can get so blind to the things of God that you know, should be every day and are every day filling your life with goodness. Listen, he said, and this Brother John used the 23rd Psalm yesterday, and he used this verse. He didn't mention a lot about it, but it sure jumped out at me. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means when I have a day that I say I can't find any goodness and mercy, it isn't because it didn't follow me. It's because my eyes have become carnal and fleshly. And I'm not looking spiritually, thinking spiritually. I'm not walking in the Spirit. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we need to be walking and living in the Spirit. If you're not born of the Spirit, it's impossible to do that. But if you've been born again by the Spirit of Almighty God, and what do you say? What do you mean by that? That means if you know the Lord, that's because He first knew you. If you call out to Him, it's because He's called down to you. If you love Him, it's because He's loved you. It's because He first loved you. If you found Him, it's because He wasn't lost. He found you. And He's called you out of nature's darkness and into His marvelous light. And we're on a journey. We're occupying until He comes. We have a place we're going. And that place is a place that He's prepared for us. Through the blood of the cross, He paid a sin debt we could not pay, so that you and I have a promise of being with Him forever in heaven in immortal glory. Oh, what a blessing that is. But then also in time, He said, I'll freely give them all things. Otherwise, it would be a waste for you and I to pray tonight if we didn't believe that. And there are sometimes old Gary's praying when I'm not believing like I ought to. And I want to do better. I want to understand what the disciples could have understood and should have understood because Jesus rebuked them for their doubting. I want to understand that there is one who is able to take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And when you're finished feeding 5,000 men besides the women and the children that were there, we take up 12 baskets of scraps. That is not scraps, because He didn't say waste it. He didn't say throw it away. It's precious. Whatever He gives you is precious. And it was to be kept. You take it up. And He fed them. And listen, they didn't have to cut it short either. He said, eat all you want. You take your fill. For some of us, that's a lot. You take your fill. You eat until you're full. Every one of them, being hungry, were able to eat. Listen, He gave them the appetite. There was no one who didn't eat. They ate. They were filled. 5,000 men, women, and more in number were, you got the 5,000 men, and along with that, the women, and then the children. I don't know how many that is, but I'll tell you what, that'd be a crowd. And you set them down in a company, And then he gave those disciples, those doubting disciples, the disciples that had so much concern for them, by the way, that they said, go send them into the cities. They're, you know, we want them to, you go tell them to go get them some victuals, to get them something to eat in the city. Go, you go get, tell them to do that. Send them away, Lord. And he said, they don't need to go anywhere. Don't tell them to depart because, well, listen, he is our everything. Tonight, for God's little children, whether those that are here tonight and those that are out there in the world, I believe the Lord has a table prepared for them, a place that they could feed, a place that they could drink. And by the way, they were in the desert, and yet He set them down on the grass. You know why? You know why He could do that? Because He can bring grass out in the desert. You know, He can make your desert a grassy place, and He can feed you. And then He'll put you on a ship, as He did then. And these men knew about shipping. They knew about boats. I mean, you know, they were called from the nets. They'd been, this is the Sea of Galilee. They're crossing across it. And they're not in a place that's strange to them. Straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get in the ship and go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. He said, you're going to the other side. There's no question about what's going to happen here. You're going to the other side. He called them to go. You're going there. He said, Jesus said you're going to the other side. You know what that means? They're going to the other side. Now, I might say, let's get in a car and ride down to Front Row. We're at Front Row, but ride to Luray. Doesn't mean we're going to get there. It may be my intent. But I'm telling you, when Jesus said, get in the ship, as He said to them here, and go to the other side, when He said that, there was no doubt about it. They were going to arrive at their destination. Because, see, the one who said go is the one who had the power to take them there and to see that they got there. And to make sure there's not one of them lost, one of them fall out, one of them fail to be there. And we have been given an eternal promise. The God of heaven, who has an eternal love for His children, has promised us, if we belong to Him, that all that the Father giveth to me, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Therefore, let every man who nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's why we ought to be doing it, because the Lord knoweth them that are His. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He's told us about a people that He foreknew, that He predestinated, that He calls, that He justified, and that He glorified. And that is good as done, because the Savior who said it would happen had the power. The one who loved you had the power to save you. And the one who saved you will not lose you. He cannot fail. He will not fail. He's the one who took 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. By the way, the lad would not have had any fish if the Lord hadn't made the fish to give him. And it wouldn't have been any barley loaves if He hadn't have made the barley to begin with to get the loaves from. And though the world would say, well, who likes barley loaves and fishes when the Master served them? When the Master serves the meal, it's good, isn't it? Isn't it good? Preaching doesn't mean a thing to you unless the Master is serving the meal. But that which you would consider just all barley loaves and fish, I'll take anything. Listen, it isn't about that. What's beautiful about the preaching is that the Master took it and blessed it, and then He gave it. He allowed you to, listen, salvation by grace didn't mean anything to me until He opened my ears and my heart to see it and know it and understand it. If He hadn't given me a heart to believe it and the ability to embrace it, I wouldn't have had any appreciation for it, nor would you. I wouldn't have wanted to eat it. But I'll tell you what, it's good to sit. I love to sit down and bask on the messages of grace, don't you? I love to feed on them. They feed my heart and they feed my soul. And when I'm in the storms of life, I need to remember the fishes and the loaves. So did the disciples. I want you to remember the fishes and the loaves. I want you to remember when you're in the storm. You may be in the storm tonight. If you're not in it, you will be in it. It's coming. And our lives are a storm. Our lives are, and listen, it's not a storm the Lord isn't aware of. There are some storms you may face that have come just as a matter of you being alive and breathing. There are some problems you're going to have. There are other storms where the adversary is going to attack you, and you're going to be hit with this storm or that storm or some other problem. You have those kinds of things. And there are others that the Lord will lead you in that valley in order that you might grow and understand some things that you'd never learn if you stayed on the mountain. He's the one who sent them into the ship. Do you think he knew for a moment that a storm was coming? Oh, listen, he's the one that's out of his treasuries comes the wind. Listen, you think this world, they look at it and act like it's just running on its own without any force or power behind it. Listen, Jesus not only made this planet, it's by his power that it consists. It's by his power that this earth stays in its orbit. It's by around the sun. It's by its power that the sun stays where it is. It's by his power that the weather, though sometimes... Listen, when we need rain, what do? We pray for the Lord of heaven to send rain. And when we're having a storm like we've had some, I'm telling you, I'm on my knees saying, Lord, protect us. Keep us. Some amazing things happened on this ship. Some amazing things happened right off the ship too. Some things that seem far away from us, but they're not. They're in our lives every single day when the Lord allows us to see things spiritually rather than carnally or naturally. That's what that being be not carnal. To be carnal minded is death. That means to be fleshly minded. Let us work and labor not to be fleshly minded, putting off the old man and his deeds, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. Let us have our minds renewed by the Scripture and by the Spirit of Almighty God, that we're thinking spiritually about our lives, that we're facing our problems and remembering I'm not the one who has the hose, who took the loaves and the fishes and fed the multitude, is the one I'm looking to supply what I stand in need of. So that when I get in the storm, I don't have to be afraid. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now I think sometimes, why did Jesus have to go alone in a mountain to pray when Jesus said he was one with the Father, that he even spoke his prayers out loud? He said, I know you hear me always, Lord. He was in constant communication with his Father. He was the one that when Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And he said, have I been so long with you, Philip, then you have not known me? That I and my Father are one. But why then? Because see, Jesus, listen, he was our great example. Every step of his life, not only was he walking in the very will of God, but as the great teacher and the great example, he was showing us how to live as men. He was, yes, the Son of God, but he also was the Son of David. He, as we heard yesterday, he had to be both of those. And in order to do what he did at Calvary, he had to be verily man. And yet he had to be also verily God. In order to stand in our room instead, he had to be man. A perfect man. And that's exactly what he was. In order to accomplish what took place, he had the power to lay down his life, and he had the power to take it up again. He had to be the Son of God, and he was absolutely that. Listen, don't let anyone take away one thing from our Lord. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. By his power, all things consist. That's who we're serving. That's my Lord. That's our Lord. That's your Lord. And that's who was with them on the ship, even though he wasn't with them. He was with them. It says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Listen, there's times you and I need to be alone with the Lord. We need to shut the closet, shut the world out, and get on our knees and pray. If we're missing that part of our life, and I know I am at times, I know that we all do at times, but I'm saying to you and encouraging you as much as I can, you make the time. You take the time and you make the time to be, you know, husbands who really love their wives take the time to be alone at times with their wives, and wives who love the husbands do the same thing. I'm saying to you, the one we really need to be sure we're taking the time and setting aside the time for is, you know, this is Father's Day, but the Father that's most important is the Father that we pray to. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I need to take the time to talk with him and communicate with him that I might be a decent father in this world. I can't even be a good father without him. Listen, he said for me to love him so much more that my love for those that are my nearest kin is as hate. The Bible says if we hate not our mother and our father, we can't be his disciples. That doesn't mean you hate them. He's told us to honor our mother and our father. Those are the commandments of God. What he's saying is that we're to love God above all others to the degree that any comparative love is as hate. How much we're to, and listen, if you really love your wife, you'll love the Lord first. If you really love your husband, you'll love the Lord first, because you won't be able to do it without the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives me a forgiving heart. The Lord is the one who allows my wife to forgive me. The Lord is the one who cleans the slate in my life. The Lord is the one who's forgiven me. And as he's forgiven me, he's told me to forgive others. The Lord who is the one who keeps our church at peace. And our brethren close. And your family close. And your children close. The Lord is the one who teaches you how to do that. And without him, you can't do anything. I need to take the time to hear from him. He doesn't need me, but I need him. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who spoke, Jesus was one with the Father, showed us that by example. He sent everybody else away and went here and prayed. And he was there alone with the Lord, with his Father. Sweet communion. We sang Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I fear sometimes I've sung it a lot of times. I don't think I've experienced it as much as I've sung it. How about you? Sweet hour. Sometimes a few minutes seems like, well, we've taken a long time. Can we pray too much? He said, pray without ceasing. I need him. I need him. I feel our preaching would be a lot stronger and more powerful if we had a lot more praying. I believe our services would be a lot warmer and our love would be a lot greater if we had more praying. I believe our families would be healthier. And I know our nation would be better off if we were praying. We've forgotten to pray. And sometimes our prayers are like, well, quickly pray for the meal so we can get to it. Shame on us. We wouldn't have anything on the table if he didn't provide it. If I go to somebody's house and they've provided a good meal for me and done all that to fix up things, I surely would be a rude guest if I didn't say thank you for what you did and thank you for you know, showing me that kind of hospitality. That's just good manners, isn't it? We teach our children that. And yet sometimes you and I, who have been blessed so greatly, feel like we're just too busy to stop and say thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day. It's because we get carnally minded. And these passages wake us up. I hope they wake us up. He said, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Does that sound like your life sometimes? I was thinking about my dear brother laying in that hospital and how he felt, and I could see him sometimes just ready to give up. I mean, you go in and see a boy is, you know, one day he looks bad, swollen, next day he's covered from head to toe with this, like a blisters and stuff. And you go like, what's next? What's coming? What are we going to face? And listen, that's just where we are. We never know what a day is going to bring. We don't know what we're going to have to face. All I know is that these disciples, and they being obedient to the Lord, doing what he said, came into the midst of the sea and they were tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, where did the wind come from? Well, the Lord knew when he put them on the ship the wind was going to be contrary. He knew just like he asked Philip. He said, "What are we going to feed these with?" He knew what he was going to do. The Bible says that he knew what he was going to do, but he said this to prove him. And just as soon as he put them on this ship, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew Brother Peter was going to be there and say, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." He knew that was going to happen before any of this had happened. You see, before he would have ever asked that, you had to have a contrary wind. Have you seen circumstances in your life that brought you closer to the Lord that you wondered why you had to go through that? And if you hadn't have gone through it, you'd have just been going on your merry way, just like everything's cool, everything's wonderful. I got it made. I got the world at my fingertips. I'm telling you what you and I have, absolutely nothing without the Lord. Not a thing. And yet with Him, we have everything we need. It's just that real. And just that true. It says they were in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, not the first watch, not the second watch, not the third watch, the fourth watch. That's important to understand that they hadn't just started there a little bit and got a little bit of trouble and stayed there. They went through three watches before they got to the fourth watch. We're talking about periods of 3 hours, going from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. 6 in the evening to 9 o'clock when it was dark, they're battling the storm. They get about 4 miles, 3 to 4 miles. Talks about it in furlongs over in either Mark or John. 3 to 4 miles, they're rowing. I'm telling you, these fishermen, they're handling it. You know, first watch, they're fighting it. Been in storms before, you know they have. Been on that sea, they've been in storms before. First watch. Sometimes in the first watch, you and I hang in there pretty good. Everything, we're handling it. Oh, it's trouble, but we're handling it. We're making it. We're taking it on pretty good. Second watch gets a little tougher. Still rowing hard, though. They're rowing. First 3 hours, they're rowing. And then the second watch comes in the next 3 hours. 6 to 9, the first watch. The next watch, 9 to 12. Midnight. Storm still going, still rolling, trying to bring this thing home, trying to do what the Lord told me to do. I'm out here because He sent me. I'm out here because this is where He told me to go. I'm out here in the midst of the storm. I'm battling away. Why is this happening? You ever been there? Why is this happening? I'm trying to do what He would have me to do. But in the battle, in the storm, they're battling and rowing. The wind's contrary. And the fourth watch, the third watch, Jesus has seen them all along. We have in another place where He saw them toiling. He saw them toiling. Eye right on them. Never a chance the ship was going down. Couldn't have sunk it. Never a chance they weren't going to reach their destination. They're not, we don't see them calling on Him. As a matter of fact, when He comes to them in the fourth watch, where we go 12 to 3, third watch, and then 3 to 6. I'm tired. They labored all that time, traveled 3 to 4 miles rowing against the wind. Against the wind. You ever feel like you're rowing against, you're just trying to go down, trying to go, what is it, upstream? I'm battling, and I'm feeling overwhelmed. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I'll tell you how much trouble He had with the water and the storm. The storm that was tossing the ship. The storm, they stand in the boat the best they can because they know if they go out of the boat, they're going to drown. They were going to be just taken. I'll tell you how much trouble our Lord had with it. He came walking on the storm, on the sea. Sometimes we see a little picture where it's all nice and smooth and He's walking. Listen, it was a tempestuous sea. Waves tossing the ship. Jesus walked right on it. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They didn't know who it was. They said, they didn't know whether this was an evil spirit. They didn't know what this was coming. They saw this apparition. Listen, it's 3 o'clock, at least 3 o'clock in the morning. They've been battling all night. They're weary. They're tired. They're about to give up. The ship's about to go down. And here comes Jesus walking. They didn't even recognize who He was. Wouldn't you think, though, The ones who had just seen him feed 5,000 would have been calling enough and looking for him to come. Seems strange, doesn't it? Until I stop for a minute and think about me. I get through a problem and the Lord's taken me through it. Been right there, held my hand, supplied everything I needed. I thank him for it, praise his name, thank him for doing it, get to the next problem and forget he ever helped me. Hardness of heart. They had a hard heart. They forgot the loaves and the fishes. He tells us that. I believe it's in Mark or John. In Mark chapter 6. Oh yeah. Mark chapter 6. Here in verse 51 it says, "And he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracles of their loaves, for their heart was hardened." On verse 51 and 52. "When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying," listen to his good words. It says in one place he would have walked by, as if he was going to walk by. But then they cried out. "And he came to them," Jesus straightway came to them, "and spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer.'" That's a gospel. You want to hear the good news of the gospel? It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. Listen, poor sinner, be of good cheer. Brokenhearted, those that are weary, those that are heavy laden, if you be heavy laden, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's good news. There's balm in Gilead. There's an ointment for your eyes. Your heart condition. There's a great physician who heals all of our wounds. One who can solve all of our problems. One who is our friend. What a friend. You sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, where would we be without that friend? It says, "When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' He said to them, 'Be of good cheer.' But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I.'" Oh, they knew who he was. "It is I. And be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou," Peter still, you know, like he is, like we are. "Lord, is it really you? And if it is really you, Lord, bid me come unto thee on the water." I don't believe for one minute his request was out of place, because I'll tell you why, because Jesus granted his request. Jesus said unto him, "Come." And he said, "Come," and get this. "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Sometimes I get so busy pointing out the fact that Peter sunk, I miss the fact that Peter walked on the water. Have you ever walked on water? Listen, brother, Peter could say, "I've walked on the water." How? Not by his own power or his own might, but by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't in a calm sea that Peter walked on the water. It was on a stormy sea that Peter walked on the water. You know, when you and I are in the storm, young or old, you can look to Jesus and say, "Lord, help me." And he can allow you, if it's his will, to walk right out on the water. Whatever the trouble is. Have you been there? Have you had him hold you? When he's holding your hand, I can take anything. But if I get my eyes off of him. He said we're to look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. If we take our eyes off of him and put it on the storm and the trouble, what happens? We sink. But when our eyes are on the Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we can do nothing without him. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, what happened? The storm, you know, he'd been fighting this storm. Oh, I don't know how you could doubt. But then again, I think about my own self. How do I doubt? How do we doubt? Why, when we get in trouble, do we sometimes doubt? Has he been so good to you that you can feel tonight, why would I ever doubt him? Why would I ever question him? And yet the old weakness of the flesh, I find myself from time to time doing that. Now listen, I'm not going to justify that by saying, well, it's just what we do, because I don't believe that's what we ought to be doing. I'm saying this tonight that you and I ought not doubt him. We ought to trust him. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I don't know where we are tonight. Third watch, fourth watch. But remember, there's one who said, we're going to the other side. And he who cannot lie has given us those promises. And immediately Jesus, when he saw, he stretched forth his hand. But when he saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He didn't know where to go. Thanks be to God for that. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Over in John's account of this, in John chapter 6, just close with this thought. Verse 19 said, so when they had rowed about five, and this is John chapter 6, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and get this, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So he not only calmed the sea, he took them right to their destination. They'd been battling all night long. Gotten hardly nowhere. And when Jesus came along, he said to the sea, he calmed it, and immediately they were right at this destination that he said they were going to. You see your life in this? I hope you do. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a wonderful Redeemer. What a promise, eternally and in time. Brethren, and I, Hebrews 3. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verses that came to my mind, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Who? Brethren. Who's he talking to? Brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, where we start doubting. In departing from the living God. This doesn't mean eternally being separated from him. It's talking about when you and I, as God's little children, stop trusting and leaning and depending upon him. And when that happens, he's talking to the brethren who could not lose their eternal salvation. Listen, once you have been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But when we stop believing and we do doubt, and when we have that, let us take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of us a heart of unbelief, that sin which doth so easily beset us, we're to lay it aside. When I stopped believing, you helped me. You said, brother, you got, my wife helps me. Sometimes I help her. We got to believe. We got to trust. We got to depend on the Lord. And He's given us every reason to. We come to church to hear about this so that we might better believe and trust and depend. I hope you go out tonight better able and prepared to believe and trust and to battle this old heart that comes in the old, and it's that old natural part of us, the nature. One day that's going to be, isn't it going to be good when that's gone? Aren't you? Isn't it going to be wonderful when that's gone? As long as we're in this world, we got that doubt. And he says, but exhort, hear this, exhort one another daily. How often? Daily. While it is called when? Today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That's talking about right here in time. We are a partaker. We get to walk on the water by the grace of God. Not to puff ourselves up, but to praise Him and honor Him and glory, give glory to His name. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, please remember me, and God bless you. What number?
492.